The third day morning, he rose with all power. Do I have anybody that say he rose with power? Power for me to be saved. Power for me to be healed. Power for me to be delivered. Come on and shout glory. Come on and shout hallelujah. The one thing I love about an ant is that he knows what time it is to do what he's supposed to do. And some of us don't know when we're supposed to praise. Some of us don't know when we're supposed to rejoice. When the gospel's preached, you're supposed to rejoice. When the gospel's told, you ought to say, he's talking about my Lord and Savior. Won't he do it? That's what you ought to be saying. You ought to say, won't God fix it? If he ever healed you, you ought to say, won't he heal you? Somebody say yes. If he ever opened doors, you need to tell somebody, won't he open up doors been closed in your face? Do I have anybody? Come on and shout glory. Won't God make your enemies your footstool? Come on and shout glory. Won't he do it? Won't it be your bread when you're starving? Won't it be money when you're broke? Somebody say yes. Give him glory. Come on and give him praise. Anybody in the house know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. I'm talking about Samson, jawbone of an ass. I'm talking about Moses, rod that opened the Red Sea. I'm talking about Aaron's beard, his rod that budded. I'm talking about, do I have anybody? My grandma's burden bearer. My grandpa's heavy load sharer. Do I have anybody? Come on and shout glory. Shout praise him. Come on, tell him praise him. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him. Shout yes. I'm about to go to my seat. I see y'all don't want no more of this. But let me ask you to do one thing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, consider the ant. Wake up from your sleeping and do God's will. Now tell your other neighbor, say, I was talking to the wrong neighbor, but I want to tell you what I know. I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. Now say, yeah, say, yeah, I know he's all right. Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Say, yeah, yeah, I know he's all right. Is he all right? I say, is he all right? Wave your hands and say, all right. He's all right to live with. He's all right to walk with. He's all right to talk with. Say, yeah, yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina. Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you don't mind, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. Well, we're talking about advice for believers. It has particular references to the young believers, but nonetheless, believers all the same. We back up a little bit in this to verse 11. It says, "These things command and teach." So Paul is commanding young Timothy to teach these things that he has learned. To better give you an understanding before verse 12 comes into focus, let's back on up, if you will, to verse 1, and let me share a few things with you as Paul did with Timothy. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now I can park right there and spend the rest of my time right there. But now Paul, listen at this, nearly 2,000 years ago is telling this to young Timothy. He says that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And it's talking about the faith, that Paul shares with Timothy, the faith as of children of the Most High God. This is talking about understanding the faith that is built upon biblical principles. That's why he says giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What a whole lot of believers don't understand is the teachings of the world, the teachings of those who are not of the word, are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The seducing spirits are the spirits by which they are alluring the believer away from the foundation and the focus of the faith, and slowly but surely turning it away to the ways of the world. It's not a quick turn. True. It's so slow that you don't even realize you're losing your focus. You don't even realize that it's slipping away. You're slipping into darkness. And for you know anything, the lights will be out. And so one of the ways, listen at this, that the enemy gets us is he seduces us. You know, somebody just comes straight up in your face and try to get you to turn from the way of the Lord, that ain't happening. But if they little by little, without you being alarmed, disarms you and causes you to turn their way without you even recognizing it until it's too late. Seducing spirits, they work in a way, whereas to give you just as much as you can handle. They don't want to reveal too much all at one time, just a little bit to get you, and they stop. When they think you're about to come alive and they think that you're about to see what's going on, they stop. And it seduces you. So then it talks about the doctrines of devils. What is the doctrine of devil? I'm glad you asked. The doctrine of devils is the doctrine that is not found in the Word. Did you hear what I just said? Anything that is absent of God's Word, God's will, and God's way is the doctrine of, look at what the word says, devils. It literally means that it has its wellspring, its knowledge, its base from Satan himself. It is not of God. Then it moves on and it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I mean, he's talking about all of the doctrines of his day and thus gives way to the doctrines of our day. But one of the things of his day was that they believed that Christians ought not eat meat. And I'm so glad he straightened that issue out back then. I must admit, my life would not be what it ought to be if I didn't have some meat in my life. Amen. But look at what he says. He says, they're teaching, forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Paul made clear, I know the truth. And that's why he brings in the fact for the believer who knows the truth. That is not true. When we bless it and by the word of God know that it is well to eat, then we are doing no harm as relates to biblical truth. When you know that you don't come home, man, you're not supposed to eat meat, you're not supposed to do this, that, and the other. Listen, Paul said, if meat causes my brother to stumble, I'll eat no meat. I'm not gonna do it, listen, in his presence and while he's watching, because he's got issues with the meat, not me. You understand what I'm saying? See, what he's literally teaching and sharing with us, there are some people who are weaker. There are some people who are not mature. There are some people who are without the knowledge of truth. So instead of using your truth to be an occasion to cause someone to sin, you refuse to do it because they think it's wrong, not because it's wrong, so that you can teach them and show them later and thereby saving a brother and not causing one to fall away. So when he talks about that, he's making clear that verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. It is to be received with thanksgiving. For listen at this, verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Man, when God's word tell me it's okay, and I put my prayer to it and say amen to it, that devil better back on up or he'll get eaten up too. That's just how strong the word is. That's how real it is. Listen at this, by the word of God, and listen, we sanctify it by adding our prayer to it. That's the power of the believer. But notice again, it says verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words and faith of good doctrine. We're talking about doctrine today, and this is so important. People want to shout, and they ain't got no doctrine to shout on. You shouting on feelings and on emotions and all of that kind of stuff is temporary, ain't got no doctrines. Listen, when you have doctrine on the inside of you, you shout, you're shouting to the glory of God and knowing it is well based on God's word. It ain't on a feeling, it ain't on an emotion, but it is based on the truth of God's word. Now listen at this. The Bible says again, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now look at what he's really saying. He's saying, listen, you refuse all of those things that are profane, that are cursed of the enemy, that uses cursings of the enemy. All those old wives' tales is what it's saying, fables they call them. He says, you build your doctrine, your faith, your belief up on the word of God and up on godliness. Don't go around because it's a tradition. Separate tradition from doctrine. All traditions are not bad, and the good traditions hold on to. But when the traditions contradict the doctrine, the word of God, you hold on to the doctrine and the word of God and let those old wives' tales and wives' fables be a god. You let all that mama say this, that, and that, all that's fine and good. But what does the doctrine say? What does the Bible say? Because ultimately, that's what's going to carry you over, not wives' tales, not old traditions, and not all of this stuff that we've gotten that was not based on truth. And so many times, my brothers and sisters, we have taken tales from the olden day when they didn't have the understanding and the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost to really interpret and correctly interpret scripture. And many times God allowed what they did to help them in their situation. And many times God permitted them to come through on his grace. But to those of us now who know better and have better understanding and better schooling and better knowledge and have a revelation of the truth now, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. It's just like, you've heard this story before, it's just like at Christmas time and Thanksgiving time, this family was always known for doing turkey like many of us are doing. And one young lady was watching her mother tie the turkey together, the legs together, and cook the turkey, and then, you know, then she'd untie the turkey. She said, Mama, why do you tie the legs together? She said, I don't know. I saw my mama do it, so I did it. So they said, don't worry about it. Grandmama come in to Thanksgiving dinner. We'll ask her. So grandmama came to dinner. She said, oh, baby, go on and ask grandmama what you want to know. She said, grandmama, I want to know why you tied the turkey legs together when you get ready to bake the turkey. She said, I don't know. I saw my mama do it when. And so that's all right. Great-grandmama going to be here. Let's ask great-grandmama. So later on, great-grandmama came and said, baby, go on and ask my great-grandmama why she tied the turkey legs together. Great-grandmama, I asked mama. Mama didn't know. Mama asked mama, say, ask grandmama. Grandmama said she didn't know. She say, ask you. Why do you tie the turkey legs together when you cook the turkey? She said, oh, baby, that's easy. I ain't have a pot big enough to cook him in. They got a big old roaster with you can cook almost two turkeys in, still tying the turkey legs. It worked for them then. But because there's more enlightenment now, they're more informed now, they've accelerated and exceeded beyond those things of old. It's a different day. It's a different reality. It's a different revelation. And so we should know better and do better. And then when you move on and you see again, verse 8, for bodily exercise profited little. Didn't say don't exercise, but it's limited. Whatever production and whatever good comes from it for the body only. Look again. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So when you practice godliness, that covers every area, the physical, the spiritual, the financial, all of the areas of life, all of the scenes of life. And so you need to know that godliness is affecting every area of life. It is applied to every area of life. And then notice it goes on to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach. Listen at this now. We both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, this says something to us. When we labor for the Lord Jesus Christ, notice again, it says labor and what? Labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Now, my brothers and sisters, don't think that because you live for the Lord, you're going to get by on flowery beds of ease. Amen. If you labor for the Lord, you're going to suffer for the Lord. You are in a world that hates the Lord. It hates those who are connected with the Lord. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So when you labor for the Lord in the world is going to hate you. Don't get offended at that. Don't act like you're surprised and marveled at that. When you do the works of the Lord, you're coming against the works of the devil. When you bring works of light into darkness, then those who are in darkness repel the light. I mean, when somebody's in darkness sleeping and you turn on the light and say, get up, what do? They cover their eyes and turn off the light. They don't want that. They don't, because it goes against what they are practicing or enjoying. And so it is with this world. So when you labor for the Lord, be prepared to suffer. Be prepared to suffer. This is doctrine. Look again. The reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Verse 11, these things command and teach. These things command and teach. Now, the problem with a whole lot of us in today's churches is we don't understand it because the preachers aren't commanding it and teaching it. And so the people don't know. Just as in Ezekiel's day, when Ezekiel was sent to discover the issues of the people, and the Bible says he sat where they sat. In other words, he was juxtaposed from the pulpit to the pew. And so now he had a view of the pulpit and heard what came from the pulpit, and he sat there astonished and amazed for 7 days. When he then took the pulpit back again, he recognized that the problem with the people came from the priests. He didn't change his message, he changed his methods. And see, what you got to understand is the word is the word is the word. But if you don't handle the word right, and if you don't interpret the word right, and if you don't give the word right, you can't expect it to have the effect. You made what the word calls non-effect of the word. And so when he sat there, he realized that the priests were wrong and they gave wrong information, thus wrong inspiration, and the people ultimately were wrong, until God sent him in there to straighten things up and to preach the word and to give it as thus said the Lord. That's why I don't really like people who don't like to come to church with their word. Because I could be, or any preacher standing up here could be sincere and be sincerely wrong. And you don't even have a word open to get a hint. You got some folk who want to be super spiritual. I hear the word in my heart. Clay Evans said, you ain't got that much word hidden in your heart. You need to bring your Bible and open up your Bible and see it there in your Bible. And so I think that people who come to church without a word and don't really know whether or not what is being said is actually the word of God are setting themselves up for failure. Trusting as the Israelites did in priests who wrongly shared the word. Some didn't do it intentionally, others did. But here's what you would know if you were like the Bereans and search the scriptures to see whether those things were so, then you'd have an affirmation and confirmation of what that priest. See, some saints, when they used to, in the olden day, they had their Bibles that were serious. They didn't amen everything. Because amen means so be it or be it so. And so when you put your amen to it, it's an agreement. They're looking at the word and the preacher come off the cuff with something that ain't in the word. They would say, well, they They were like, I can't agree with you on that one, preacher. And well was a sign to him that you need to get back on the road. You're running off track here. And so you need some people and some preachers who are clear about the word of God so they can give credence to the word, because they've got the word there and know the doctrine that they're supposed to live because of the word. Now let me go through these doctrines right quickly, if you don't mind, because verse 12 says this: let no man despise thy youth. He's telling young Pastor Timothy this, as he's telling every young person this, and he's saying this: but be thou an example of the believers. Listen at this. Be thou an example of the believers. Now, if we're going to use the doctrine of God to live by, then we ought to know what the doctrine is and what is expected of us. So first of all, let's look at these six things that he has given to us to know. The first one has to do actually with conversation, because the example is in word, conversation, in word. One of the things about this, good speech is becoming of the believer. We've got to learn how to talk right and use the word of God to communicate with as much as possible, or speak on the terms of the word of God. You don't have to say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, everything you say. But you ought to at least be able to talk the word that is a word of righteousness. In other words, you ought to have a conversation becoming a Christian. And so when you understand that crude and vulgar language is despicable and has only the influence of the evil on it, when you begin to talk like the world and curse and carry on like that, that says that you have an evil influence causing you to speak instead of a godly influence. So conversation is so important. Wholesome speech becomes the Christian and will commend a wholesome lifestyle. What you say is important to what you do. Now, you might say it says in word, but then notice it goes on to say in conversation. Well, now conversation is not the word that we use for conversation here. When it talked about in word, that is referencing conversation. But when it says conversation, this is a word translated as in action, in conduct. Okay? So this word here, conversation, means one's entire conduct. Because corrupt communication, it corrupts bad or good manners. If your communication is bad, sooner or later your manners are going to be bad. So bad communications, corrupt communications, they corrupt good manners. And so you got to realize that it's going beyond conversation in this word conversation to mean entire conduct. So in conduct, the example is in conversation. The word translated here means that you ought to be more than talk as a Christian. Not only should you be in word, but you should be that in your conduct. Conversation in conduct. Conduct is going to actually be the greater of the two. Because here's the reality. Do you know, no matter what you say, people are watching what you do? How many of you know that? They may hear you say this thing and that thing and the other thing. Now, the next thing that moves beyond the talk is the walk. And they're watching to see if they too harmonize together. And so he said, don't let no man despise thy youth. And he goes on to tell him, let him be an example in the word, in conversation. But then he goes on to say, in charity. In charity. What does that mean? In love. What one loves and does or does not do speaks volumes. What one does in love speaks volumes. And so when you show the love of God, I don't care what language it is, I don't care what the person or personality is, when you show charity, when you show the love of Jesus, when Jesus asked the question, who was a good neighbor? Was it the man that helped and supported, or was it all of the Christian folk who walked by and passed on the other side? It was simply the one who showed charity. And charity is going to speak volumes above